Now he says, in conclusion in this chapter, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. As that word malice again, congealed anger. But become ye kind to one another, kind-hearted, forgiving one another, as also God in Christ forgave you. Now, these two last verses, they're in sharp contrast one to the other. For instance, in verse 31, there is an additional listing of that which grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the sins of the emotional nature. Bitterness. That's an irritable state of mind which produces harsh and hard opinions of others. Someone came to me and told me what they thought of a certain Christian, and there was a third Christian present, and after this man left, he said to me, if I were you, McGee, I wouldn't put too much stress upon what this individual has said. He said he's very bitter. Well, great many people speak in bitterness, and when they do, it hurts. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, wrath and anger are outbursts of passion. Bishop Mole makes this distinction between them. He says wrath denotes rather the acute passion, and the other, that is anger, the chronic passion. And then clamor, that means a bold assertion of supposed rights and grievances. There are those in the church, you meet them, guilty of this, grieves the Holy Spirit. They said, you know, they don't pay any attention to me anymore. The pastor doesn't shake hands with me. Well, my friend, what right have you to say that he's got to run around and shake your little paw to keep you happy? Of course, a lot of us pastors had the job of burping the babies, and that was part of it, was shaking a lot of hands. They'd be bitter if you didn't do it, then they would be clamorous if you didn't do it. Now, evil speaking here is blasphemy, yet it means all kinds of slander. And they're to be put away, that is, taken away. And it's an aorist imperative, if I may intrude a little grammar here. It means that there should be a decisive act if the Holy Spirit is not grieved. You're to put it away. You are to make a decision to put that away. Now, malice, as we've said, is congealed hatred here. But become, he says now, do you note that here? He says, you're to put these away from you, but become kind one to another. And this denotes the radical change that should take place in the believer, so there'll be no vacuum in his life. Kind to one another. That means Christian courtesy. Kind-hearted is more intense than the word kind. It means to be full of deep and mellow affection. Some believers, you know some like that, wonderful friends. When they see you, they put their arm around you. Well, I went to college with, graduated college with him, then in seminary. I helped meetings for him for years. He's retired. When we saw each other in Florida, we just flung arms around each other. That's kind-hearted. I love him in the Lord. Now he says, forgiving one another. That's a reflexive form of a phrase, and it means to give and take in relation to the faults of one another. Forgive instead of magnify the faults of others. That's what we're to do. Now, all of this is done on a twofold basis. First, this conduct will not grieve the Holy Spirit. And in the second place, the basis of forgiveness is not legal, but gracious. It's not a command under law, but it's on the basis of the grace of God exhibited in our forgiveness because Christ died for us. And we're to forgive because we've been forgiven, not in order to get forgiveness. And that's quite a contrast. The Lord Jesus said, you know, you're to forgive so you'll be forgiven. Well, that's legal, and he was given that in the Sermon on the Mount. But here, it's on the basis of the fact of what he's done for us. This is quite wonderful.